Assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. How are you guys doing? My next guest, he took it to the streets of New York.
We need another 9/11 for who? You guys to...
Ah, look at the hatred. Yeah. Look at the hatred. We need a 9/11 for you guys. For who? The Muslims. You want Muslims to be dead.
We kill people for a living. That's what we do. We love...
Gotcha. Do you believe what the IDF is doing is right?
Right now? Yeah, right now. 100%.
100%. Why did the IDF kill the people in the West Bank? There's no Hamas there. There's no Hamas there. So free Israel.
100% here.
From what?
To find out more about the differences between Zionism and Judaism.
Ask the question that, what's the difference between Judaism and Zionism? What's your answer to that?
Judaism is a religion.
Yes.
Which was started by Abraham.
Yes.
And Zionism has nothing to do with the religion.
But then this guy shows up.
I would love to. I would love to do that. I would love to. Why don't you join the IDF and stick up?
I am part of the IDF.
This is Captain Zion.
We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed according to the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem, and 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Deen Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Deen Show for 15% off. You did what was somewhat of a social experiment, got into many heated debates. He's here with us, SQ, to give us the results of this social experiment.
This is the Deen Show.
Dude, I love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, what an introduction, I have to say. I appreciate it. You know, this is our second time on the show, and it just feels surreal every single time I'm here. So alhamdulillah, it's a big blessing. So thank you for having me again.
It's good to have you back, brother. So tell us, you were on the streets of New York recently.
Yes.
Doing a social experiment?
Yes. Basically, you know, first and foremost, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease and victory to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and all of our brothers and sisters dealing with oppression in various parts of the world. I think one of the most beautiful things that's come out of this is people's interest in Islam overall since everything's been going down. And people are starting to wake up to this colonialist, imperialist types of... You know, problems that we've been experiencing in the world. But yes, I went to the streets of New York. You know, we confronted these Zionist people and what they're doing, and asking them how do they believe that this is even correct. So we just hit the streets. We went there. And we just challenged them a little bit, challenged their thinking, because I don't think that's happened. I think that they stay in the little old bubble and no one really comes to them. And we weren't disrespectful, but we just asked them the tough questions that we all want to know the answers for. And amongst them, there's proper practicing Jews, Orthodox Jews, who do not believe in what they're doing is correct. They believe that the Palestinian people have the right to exist and have that land. And they're actually completely against the Zionist movement that these Zionists are trying to do. And for those who don't understand what Zionists are, right? Zionists are what you would equivalent, think of a white supremacist, right? Or a KKK Nazi member, right? That is what a Zionist is. They say that it's about, you know, loving Israel and believing the Israeli Jewish state has the right to exist. But that's, yeah, part of it. But how they go about it is what really matters. And that's what makes them complete racists and bigots.
Are you mentioned, it's interesting, you said the KKK. Most people, yes, right off the bat, they get that. And then they kind of cringe.
Yes.
People cringe and be like, okay, we don't want to be associated with KKK because they know what they represent.
Exactly.
But now there's so much programming here, but you put it in layman's terms. Look, Zionists, you're saying this is like supremacy.
It is. It's not like it. It is.
לוקחים עשה אותם בשביל שיעשו פה...
לשרת את היהודים. כל הגויים שאתה רואה שיש בעולם, המיליארדים האלה, הם הכל רק בשביל שהיהודים יהיה להם איזה תועלת.
So you are ethnically Jewish yourself, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're one of the, I guess, the main sources of authority in terms of going in depth on the history of the 20th century, investigating, you know, this idea of Jewish supremacy.
Elements of the Talmud seeped into the larger Jewish culture over that period of time. And the fact that most Jews are simply unaware of that, I think, makes those sentiments in some ways more powerful and more effective. And I mean, one of the things basically in the Talmud is that non-Jews are regarded as animals in the shapes of men. In other words, they have no divine souls. And in fact, just a few years ago, I think it was a decade or so ago, a prominent Israeli rabbi explicitly said that the fingernail of a single Jew is worth more than the lives of a million non-Jews.
It is Jewish supremacy. And it's so sad that so many Christian Americans want to support this when they don't realize is that the Muslims were the ones who were always, protecting that blessed land. It is the Zionists who are trying to oppress the people. And if you even take it back to their own biblical terms, it is the Zionists who were the ones who were trying to kill Isa alayhi salam. It was them, because the true Jews were the followers of Isa. The true Jews were always Muslims, right? So, these Christian Zionists also, they don't understand that these are the people who try to kill this person, the a'udhu billah, that you believe is the son of God or God himself, astaghfirullah. But these are the people you're supporting, the people who actually try to kill the man that you guys are revering to be a God or a son of God. So you even following them is just a part of that programming that they're instilling in you, that if you're American, you just got to support Israel, when it's completely not true.
Well, that's another good point now. That's for people to think about. I mean, this person, the Jesus, peace be upon him, we love as Muslims, love, obviously.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then over here, you had a certain group that, when Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, when he went in and he smashed the tables of the moneylenders.
Yes.
He called them, you evil and wicked, adulterous generation. Yes. He was like chastising them.
Yep.
And now it seems like our friends over here, the Zionist Christians, they're supporting the ones that are connected
exactly
to this group.
Yes, and where's the uproar and the outrage when all of a sudden, the Zionists and the IDF and all these people are blowing up historical churches that, the Muslims are a part of, the ones of preservation, the preservation of these churches. So like, it's so wild that there's no uproar, that why have these Zionist IDF Israel blown up these historical churches that have been around since like the 1700s, the 1800s? Like, why aren't you in uproar against this stuff? What makes you think that there's still an allegiance to them? How is it, Brother Eddie? I'm in your beautiful city, Chicago. Alhamdulillah. I went around and I saw the gas prices was $4.39 per gallon of gasoline. And a gallon of milk was $4.79. The people, the average American person, doesn't have food to eat. They're struggling with buying milk for their family and their children. Yet we are happy sending billions of dollars to Israel to bomb and kill people, for people that we have not agreed upon. Our tax dollars are going there when our own community is suffering. How can you give billions of dollars to a country that's committing a genocide versus spending that same $1 billion in relief for the regular American people? Help them, help your communities out. Why is it that we and our communities are struggling here while we're funding a genocide over there? It makes no sense. How can we support this? No way.
You're from New York.
Yeah.
In New York, similar to what's the situation with the homeless situation in New York?
Out of control. Out of control. Homelessness is at a rise in New York City at a historic rate. But we do a good job hiding it because, we're such a touristy type of place. So we never want to show you it's there. But downtown Manhattan, they have made specific types of chairs a homeless free or anti-homeless chairs, where they put spikes around it or they put these waves on it so that homeless people cannot lie down on it, right? They've removed certain chairs from bus stops so that homeless people cannot sit on them and go to sleep or lie on and go to sleep. They have poles now so that you could just lean on a pole. Yes, it's wild. And if you go to other places like downtown Atlanta, for example, homelessness is out of control. There's more homeless people today than there was 5 years in downtown Atlanta, and it looks like a mess. So all across, I'm sure over here, even in Chicago, it's bad. But the point is that instead of the American government, the politicians, helping the people, the Americans of this land, we're not even talking about Muslim, Christian, Jew, atheist. We're talking about the people, humanity. Instead of you putting emphasis on the human beings in this land, you are happy with taking our hard-earned money from the IRS and sending billions of dollars to kill people that we have not approved of. We want nothing to do with this. The average American wants nothing to do with it either.
I mean, even, let's say, people who don't really side with Muslim, they don't like Muslims, but they're America first.
Yes.
So they're America first, and now they're like, hold on, where are our taxpayer money going? And you had someone who kind of broke the crack a little bit, and he, Carl Tuckerson, he had the priest on. Did you see that?
Yes.
If you wake up in the morning and decide that your Christian faith requires you to support a foreign government blowing up churches and killing Christians, I think you've lost the thread.
Avoid very shallow and simplistic perspectives that are not based on scripture itself, but more based on political equations. And I would plea right now, and I will continue to plea, that we need to stop this war in Gaza. It's killing many, many children, women, innocent lives. It has to stop. There must be other ways. And as a follower of Christ, we have to pursue the path of peace and justice.
And he was one of the first. He's a big media outlet.
Alhamdulillah.
A lot of people watch him. And that was interesting to see that he brought that Christian Palestinian on to go ahead and show, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? They're like bombing churches.
Yes. Yes. It's unacceptable, Eddie. Brother Eddie, it's unacceptable. And on top of that, right, like you said, if you're not even talking about Muslim or anything and putting America first, are they, is our American government putting the people of America first? Are they? Are we? Or are we treated like our own second-class citizens within our own country? You know, once upon a time, America was the place to be. But people are leaving America now for other opportunities because they're realizing that our government does not have our backs first. They're not putting us first before the other people. And there's no like box that we can uncheck. Like, I don't want my money to go to Israel. Like let's remove that. But come on, there's homelessness. There's people. There's mothers. They need help. Single parents, they need help. Let's help our people first before we start bombing, committing genocide.
I'm going to show this next clip. So this is that social experiment that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's interesting here that you will have a rabbi who's actually identified as being, this is like a true Jewish person, and hear what he has to say regarding Zionism.
It's
different, me and you talking.
Let's hear it from them, right? Exactly.
Ask the question that, what's the difference between Judaism and Zionism? What's your answer to that?
Judaism is a religion.
Yes.
Which was started by Abraham.
Yes.
And Zionism has nothing to do with the religion. It's a new nationality, which has nothing to do at all with religion. On the contrary, it contradicts with the religion of Judaism.
So Palestine, their occupation is illegal?
The occupation of Palestine?
Yes. It's illegal.
Yeah.
You have no right to it.
No.
So as a practicing Jew yourself too, occupying that land is something that's completely wrong.
And especially if they are infringing on different people who were living there until they came. They have no right to infringe on these people's rights.
Gotcha. If I were to ask you, are you a Zionist, what would you say?
Absolutely not. You can't be both. You can either be a Jew or a Zionist.
What are you? Were you consider yourself a Jew or a Zionist?
Jew.
So you're not a Zionist?
No.
You're not a Zionist at all?
No.
So he was left in silence,
Yeah, he confused me. The other person was really like lucid in his explanation. He was like, Judaism is not Zionism.
Yes.
He made it really clear.
Very clear.
And it seemed like, okay, his humanity was Zion. He's like, it's wrong.
Yes, it's wrong. It's wrong.
But was he like, what was the heartbeat of the rest of the people? Did you get many like
no,
this?
It was just him. He was the only one amongst all these Zionists who agreed, who said that no, Zionism and Judaism are not the same thing, and Zionism is a nationality, or it's this national pride thing, like we were talking about, like this white supremacy type of idea. And he was explaining that no, Judaism is a religion. And he was one of those practicing Orthodox Jews, who are many out there, who support the cause of Palestine. And and I love those people, because okay, they want to call you and I maybe an anti-Semite, which is completely false and wrong, because we'd love, you know, we have love and respect for our Christian brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters in humanity. And we understand how the faith stemmed from Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael alayhi salam. You know, may peace be upon them. But, you know, they're always trying to cause a rift. But you want to call me anti-Semitic? Okay. Are you going to call that Jewish guy anti? How can he be anti-Semitic when he's Semitic? And we're Semitic people too, to some degree. So like, how can you call us and label this? And how are you going to label your own Jewish person an anti-Semite? And I've asked them that question, actually. So how is he anti-Semitic? They're like, no. He's just crazy. He's a radical. He's an extremist.
Well, that's what they have to say about
him. Yes, that's what they would say about someone who, a practicing Jew who's against Palestine, who's against Israel, yes.
Yeah, and he was like really clear. It's illegal.
Yes.
It's wrong. They have no right to it. It's a contradiction.
It is a contradiction.
You said they can't be one. It's like oil and water. You just can't.
They don't mix.
They don't mix.
They don't mix.
But it seems like the other rabbis I've spoken to over the years, they say the same thing. Orthodox rabbis who've come on the program and they speaking out, and they'll say that the same thing he was saying. It contradicts. They're hijacking Judaism.
Yes, they are.
For their own benefit. Now,
yes, they are.
To go ahead and land grabs.
Absolutely.
Under the disguise of Judaism.
Absolutely. And this is like the equivalent to when, you know, organizations such as ISIS were giving us a bad name, right? These Zionists are giving proper practicing good Jews a bad name, right? Mm-hmm. It's something equivalent to that because they don't want to see the Zionists or the IDF or Israel as a terrorist type of state. They don't want to see that because that is sort of the agenda that they're promoting. But when you look at the perspective of someone who has learned and who has understand, they're like, hang on a second, how are they any different from that? Because one person is, you know, internationally identified, you know, they get the pass to do such a thing. But a group of people who are resisting an occupation, they're resisting their oppressors. Because they're resisting, they're saying that, no, they're labeled as a terrorist. It's just the nature of this world. And, you know, may Allah protect us from this. And this is part of the signs of the end times, right? Where, you know, the media or the news or just the world will see those who do wrong as those who do right and those who are right as those who are the evil and wicked ones. This is all part of the prophecy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we're right on par with what's happening.
Wow. So what else? Okay, there was quite a few people in the social experiment.
Yes.
And you would think, okay, right now you had anybody. I mean, you got anyone here from the United States. You know, if you generally ask someone, what would you do if somebody sailed on ships, flew on planes, crossed the border, no. and they started entering your house?
Yes.
And try to kick you out.
Yes.
I mean, that'd be across the board. Like, hold on.
Hang on
a second.
Who
would say, like, sure, come and take my home?
Absolutely. And I mean, if we compare that to the example of the Ansar, right? For those who don't know, the Ansar were the people who welcomed during the Hijrah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Mecca to Medina. The Ansar were the people who welcomed all the Meccan Muslims into their homes, and they gave them part of their home. They even gave them land. They were willing to share their business with them. Some even said that, look, to make you feel comfortable, we're willing to divorce our wives so that you can marry them, because they know the struggle that they were persecuted and oppressed in Mecca. They left everything to come for a better life of Islam in Medina at that time. The Ansar were willing to do that. The Jews and how they're behaving in Palestine, they're illegal occupiers. No one's welcoming you in their homes like that. They welcomed you in their land and from the sense of, look, no problem, we're happy to share this with you, to help you because you're a displaced people, no problem. But they took the land grab and they had a hidden agenda that they weren't explaining it to the Palestinians, and they just came, like you said, on these ships, in these planes, and they just took over the land and they just settled themselves in their own roots in there. And people don't know what an occupation is really like, right? Imagine we're in this home or, you know, in the studio or something. And all of a sudden, we have an occupying force, someone who was not invited. They just came into your house and they just took over your house and say, from this day on, it's my house. You go in your rooms, everyone there, I'm running this household right now. Okay. Every time you had to leave your room, hang on, where are you going? I'm going to the bathroom. That's your second time today. Why? I gotta use the bathroom. All right, make it fast. They go, they're timing you. Hello, come out, let's go, it's time. We gotta go back. They're sending you back into your room. An occupier is someone, when you're living under occupation, there's someone controlling your life. You're coming out your room. Why are you out your room? I gotta go to the fridge. You ate 5 hours ago. Why you gotta eat again? I wanna go get a snack. No, go back to your room. It's someone, when you're living in a land of occupation, you are no longer being treated as if this house, as this land, as this place, as this property belongs to you, which it does. All of a sudden, these illegal occupiers are running and controlling your life. And they're not just some nice people shaking your hands. They got military-grade weapons over here, and they're ready to destroy you at anything. You say something, they have the right to shoot you, and they'll just say, we felt threatened. It's wild.
That's literally what's happening.
That was just an example to help it come closer to home so people understand what life of occupation is. Because I've been to, alhamdulillah, Palestine. I've crossed into the West Bank, alhamdulillah. I've been on that side. And I remember something happened.
You've been to the West
yes,
Bank?
Yes, yes. I've been to the West Bank. I've been to Ramallah. I've been to Halhul, to Nablus. I've been to these places, alhamdulillah. And I remember I had to take a few buses to come back because for your car to go over there, if it's not registered With Israel, you can't even cross over. It is, they have to jump through hoops just to live a regular, normal life. It's wild, Brother Eddie.
Tell us more about that experience.
Yeah.
Tell us, so you you went to the West Bank.
Yes.
And where else?
Yes, Ramallah. I went to, I went to Halhul, which is known as...
How long ago was that?
I went recently, alhamdulillah, over the summer, and maybe they would have seen that video where I got stopped at the airport and I got detained at the airport, and they tried to strip search me as well, too. That was another experience, you know. But I've been there now twice, alhamdulillah.
And a lot of people who go there,
yes,
they get really, you know, harassed,
and that's on purpose.
Everyone says it's absolutely purpose, so they don't want people coming
back they're
again.
Trying to steal your
experience.
Yes, they're trying to steal your rights, your manhood. They're trying to degrade you so that you never want to come here again, because if you have a bad experience in any land, you'll just be, I'm giving this a miss, right? But if even a fraction of those who visit, you know, Mecca and Medina, which are the top holiest places for Muslims, and by the way, Al-Aqsa is top three holiest place for Muslims, alhamdulillah, so much history over there of the prophets, and just, it's so rich and the environment. If a fraction of those people who go for Umrah and spend so much money in these governments and in these places went to Masjid Al-Aqsa, wallahi, like, it would be such a great experience for them and a great experience for the people. Because one thing I love about the Palestinian people is just everything with them is ahla wa sahlan. Come, welcome, welcome. They love when we come to visit them because it reminds them that we haven't forgotten about them. Because sometimes they feel like we've forgotten about them.
And that's another point, you know, to make them also...
Yes,
psychological,
the psychological, you know, and emotional aspect of
them.
Exactly. And as people with British citizenship, American citizenship, or European citizenship, we're allowed to, alhamdulillah, easily go into these places, which we should be going. We're able to cross over to the West Bank. Believe it or not, we can go. You have your passport. They will let you go over there. It'll make it hell for you. They'll make it tough for you, but you could visit your brothers and sisters there. You could spend your money and stimulate the economy and help the people over there, the hardworking people. And they have made the things so expensive for these people that it's so strong and hard for them to even live and survive, Brother Eddie. Like the money and everything that they're charging them over there, it's just so expensive.
Is there anything else that like stood out? You're there, were there like a lot of checkpoints?
Oh, the checkpoints are out of control. Out of control. There's literally these people with military grade weapons just checking you. And they're not just all, they're pointing them at you at all times, Brother Eddie. They're pointing at you. It's like you said, psychologically, they're letting you know that we're here. And it's so bad in the West Bank that there's parts of the land, Brother Eddie, that even if you went there to plant a tree or a plant or a crop or something there, even though it's your land, it's land that's empty, they will come. One, you'll get arrested.
Wait, for planting on your land?
Yes, Brother Eddie. Everything that you need permission. So let's suppose it's your home, right? For you to build an extension in your home, right? You would need permission, right? Well, permissions are normal, but they're not going to give you that permission. Let's suppose there's empty land. One, you're not going to be able to buy it. Even though it's your land, you shouldn't be able to buy it. Let's suppose you have land there that is your own. You can't build on it without permission. You can't plant on it without permission. Anything like that. There's this video that came up recently. Maybe some people seen it on social media. That someone had went and they put a Palestinian flag on some barren type of land that was open land. And I think someone had gotten arrested for it. And they went and the cops came. You know, the IDF came and they just took that flag off and they arrested the person. Because they are under surveillance 24/7. 24/7, Brother Eddie, under surveillance. And to get into it, there's checkpoint upon checkpoint. And when I had to leave the West Bank to go back into the occupied place of Palestine, like Israel, right? The amount of struggle, psychological, physical struggle that a person has to go through. Like, I had to crawl underneath this fence. True story. To get onto the other side, to go to the checkpoint, which is like almost a mile away, because there's only a certain point where the vans or the bus or the taxi takes you. After that, they're like, we can't go any further. So now you're trekking it, you're walking it, right? And usually by now you've made a friend because someone else is trying to walk there with you too. So you're walking there, you're helping each other pick up the fence from underneath so that someone could go underneath it. There's these concrete like types of barricades there that has a hole that you're trying to climb over or crawl under. But then you go, and there's obviously all these soldiers there, and then you have to pass through these checkpoints and the security and everything like that, and you got to show them your ID. The Palestinians have a very different and unique ID. It's not the same as everyone else's. They're treated like, even saying third-class citizens, is an insult to third class citizens. They're like this garbage that's on the bottom of your feet, and you're annoyed that there is garbage on the bottom of your feet. It is bad, Brother
that
Eddie.
Bad, huh?
It is
like
that
garbage
bad.
Under your feet.
It's so bad, Brother Eddie.
You're annoyed the garbage is under
you
your
don't
feet.
Want even to clean the shoe. You want to throw your shoe out. Like, it's so bad, Brother Eddie, right? And I remember I spoke to some of my colleagues about this. I said, listen, if I told you that there's a country, right, that treats everyone who's African American or black, right, in a terrible manner, what would you say? They're like, that's awful. What do you mean? How dare they? I said, how about this? Let me increase it for you, right? Because you're black, because of your skin color, they're not going to provide you with the same rights of education, and you need to have a specific card that because and you identify with your skin color and you're living in a specific type of place and they're watching you, oppressing you at all times. What would you say?
They say not in our time.
No, no.
These
how?
Are modern times. No.
Who exactly? What is this? The 1940s?
Yeah.
What is this? The 1800s? The 1900s? What time are we talking about here? Is this slavery time? Is this Jim Crow laws?
Is this a movie?
Is this Jim Crow laws that we're talking about? Okay, and what if I told you when you get to the airport, you get detained simply because of your skin color? What would you say? They're like, not on my time, right? Black Lives Matter, right? They're saying all these things. And I said, okay, well, let's replace the word black with Arab, Palestinian, Muslim, and let's replace the word with the word Israel. Oh, it's complicated. All of a sudden it became complicated. Mm-hmm. Something that you know in your fitrah is wrong. You know, Allah has given us the fitrah, yeah. The innate disposition, fitrah.
Yeah.
And we know that racism and treating people is wrong, but all of a sudden it becomes complicated.
Yeah, it wasn't complicated for, if we go back for Jesus.
Yes.
When he smashed the money lenders and call those people out.
In the temple,
you
yes.
Indulgent generation, you vipers, you know that. He knew what was up. It wasn't complicated now for Jews for Peace who figured
yes.
it out.
Yes.
This Jewish rabbi in your social experiment, I don't know if he's a rabbi or.
No, I think he was just a practicing Jew. That's yeah. a regular. Imagine okay. the knowledge of a regular practicing Jew. Yeah. In my other video, there's a rabbi who completely speaks about it. It's wild.
Yeah, and I've had many rabbis,
yes.
Israeli, Jewish. People whose humanity is on, they're speaking out against the oppression. They are speaking for what's right and so the truth. And then versus now Captain Zion.
Mm-hmm.
You know Captain Zion?
Then this guy shows up. I would love to do that. Why don't you join the IDF and stick up?
I am part of the IDF.
This is Captain Zion, casually bragging about all the murders him and his people have done.
The older Jews kill people. Did you ever see?
Gotcha.
Hang out in any Jewish neighborhood. And
gotcha. So why are you so proud of killing Palestinian people?
No, we're not killing the Palestinians. We kill everybody. We kill Christians.
You guys killed prophets as well, too, in the past.
We kill everybody.
This guy was out of control. Let's see what Captain Zion has to say.
Yes, I know Captain Zion.
What's up with Captain Zion?
Captain Zion.
And then his people, like people who are following Captain Zion.
Yeah, I think Captain Zion is a microcosm of what the average Jew, Israeli Zionist, because even calling them Jew is not fair to the Jewish people, right? It's like people referring to ISIS thinking that that's what the Muslim is. We're like, hang on, bro. Like, nah, they're on something else. Like, we're not about that life. So even calling these Zionist Jews is so disrespectful to the faith of Judaism, you know, the beautiful teachings that are in their book, the teachings that are completely against this type of behavior, right? The teachings that Musa alayhi salam had brought in for them. It's a complete disrespect for them. But just to use that term so people have an understanding, Captain Zion is the microcosm of all the Zionists. This is what Zionists believe. At any means necessary, I am willing to do what it takes to take their land. And I'm not killing men, women, and children, innocents. No, I'm just clearing the space of anyone who's in my way. Mm-hmm. Get out of my way. All right, I won't kill you. Just get out of my way. Give me my land. So they're hardcore Jewish nationalists, Israeli nationalists, the equivalent of a white supremacist, a KKK member. That's exactly what a Zionist is.
I want to show you and the audience so they can get a better perspective.
Yes.
Also of the thought process, the ideology behind this.
Yes.
And we contrast that with Islam. And this is actually a rabbi.
But the point is right here that Hashem say, do not have mercy on the children. Kill all their children also. Why? There's no difference between them and their children. In 10 years from now, these children will attack you on the way.
Brother Eddie, because that's exactly how the Captain Zion is programmed to believe, because these are the types of speakers they listen to. Extremists. Like, imagine a Muslim saying any of those things about any other faith.
They'd be locking them up.
They'd be locking them up. You're not allowed to enter your country. You'll be without a country. You'll be without a state, without a passport. And you'll be in Guantanamo Bay, let's be honest. It would be terrible. But listen to his ideology. And how can someone say that this is the word of God that he's reading from? How could the creator of the heavens and the earth, who's made that brown kid, that black kid, that white kid, you know, that Asian kid, that all of these different races which we believe come from Adam, peace and blessings be upon him, we are all the progeny and children of Adam. How can that same creator put a difference between two people and say one is better, one is bad, and to kill them where you're seeing these innocent people? This is not the words of a creator. These are man-made words that they have taken supreme, beautiful, actual divine revelation, and with their own hands mixed it up, changed it up, put a little bit of their, you know, like try to make it a little bit more kosher, and put a little bit of some, I don't know, like they're trying to switch it up and make it about themselves and say that these are the words of God. God would never, ever, ever have a verse like that to kill innocent people, innocent children. And it's just disgusting what they're doing.
And we got proof for that, actually. If you open up the Quran, mm-hmm. This is the living miracle that we have today.
Alhamdulillah.
And it's addressing the children of Israel.
Yes.
And in chapter 5, 32, ayah 32, God Almighty Allah is saying, specifically pointing towards the Bani Israel.
This is what our faith teaches us. It teaches us to respect humanity, to preserve humanity, and preserve human rights. And so many people want to bring counter arguments to it and just be like, well, go ahead, Brother Eddie.
So it says, because of what I have ordained for the children of Israel, that if anyone killed a person, not in retaliation or for murder or spreading corruption in the land, it would be as if he killed all of mankind. If he saved one life, it would be as if he saved all of mankind. So he said, Allah is saying, the creator, this is the creator of the earth, saying, because of what I ordained for the children of Israel. So now you have a contradiction. You have to see which one is right. Which one would you pick? Here, killing one innocent being as if you killed all of mankind, and non-combatant innocent children.
Innocent.
And it's Allah is pointing towards them.
Yeah, saying that this was part of their law. Like this is what we've done in the past too.
Then you have to, like, as a Zionist rabbi or someone who's practicing here trying to bring a verdict, you have 1 Samuel. And I'm sure you know 1 Samuel, where it's saying, go into the town and kill men, women, children, suckling, child, the donkey.
Exactly.
Everybody, everything. Exactly.
Exactly.
So here, it can't have both.
It can't have both.
And then Allah is saying that woe to those saying, woe to those who write the book with their hands.
Exactly.
Changing the text.
Exactly.
So this seems like they were trying to justify something at that time, and now they're using that.
Absolutely.
This time.
Look, they've always done this. This is a part of their plan. If it wasn't at this time, it was at another time. They've always changed and revised their book to meet the standards of not just their time, but what their nafs craved and wanted them to do. And this is when Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, goes into these temples, and he sees that they now have statues in there, and he goes and starts breaking things within that temple, and they start to attack Jesus for him trying to put them back on the right path. This is something that they've always done, because when you are able to change and manipulate things, Brother Eddie, you are now in the control of the power of the people, power of society, which is ultimately an economical goal. You want to protect your economics, and you want to make sure that you're able to control the people. So Captain Zion, there's tons and tons of rabbis just like this guy, extremist Zionist Jews, quote unquote, who are promoting this false message, saying that you are right for killing that innocent child, because that child is eventually going to kill you. What kind of behavior is this? Well, basically, how these are not the words of God. God would not, the same creator of the heavens and the earth and all human beings, all mankind, all creation, he would not give one people authority to kill other people nor destroy his own creation. So like you said, Brother Eddie, how is it that our book is contradicting what your book is saying about killing people, when, you know, wouldn't it make sense if you had to present both things, that one way God is saying to preserve the people and to have rules and regulations and morals within your actions, and the other one is just saying kill them whoever you want.
You got just war here, you got saving innocent life versus destroying children.
Yes.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't.
Okay, so let's wrap up. Tell me at the end, what was the conclusion of all this? You spoke to many different people, got heated at times.
Yes.
And rightfully so. I mean, you can see where, you know, you're getting some really ignorant responses.
Exactly.
You think, like, you got body parts of kids, you got, yes, you know, you would think some humanity is on, and something just so simple. Like, I was getting the comparison. Someone comes over the border, flies in a plane, and a ship comes in your home. You'd be like, everybody condemned that. Mm-hmm. Or the KKK example you gave.
Yes.
Right? We can understand that. But some people are just so programmed. And now you're getting these responses that are just showing a dark side of humanity.
It is.
What was your overall, at the end, conclusion from the social experiment you did?
So one thing is that I cannot judge an entire group of people from one extremist population of people, right? And I think that that's something that
that's
learned
fair
from this. That's fair. And because I wouldn't want someone to do that, because we've been on the receiving end of this several times throughout history, right? Due to the radicalization of certain groups, it's reflecting bad and evil upon us when we know our books don't teach this. And respectfully speaking, we know that their books don't teach this either. You know, this is the corruption within their books that they've altered themselves, but we know the pure teachings of the Injil, the original Bible, the pure teachings of the Torah, the original scripture given to Moses, peace and blessings be upon him, does not teach this. So they're working off of a corrupted manual anyways. And I just know that inshallah, after speaking to them, and I know through dialogue, through Allah opening their hearts and us making dua for people, their hearts can be changed. But also we know that certain people's hearts are sealed and there's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is present the information, defend my people, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I think more than Captain Zion's out there, there's a lot of people willing to change their opinions if you speak to them and you present them with the evidence. And most importantly, you ask Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to open their heart, because I think that's where the real key and the solution is to this whole problem.
Yes, yes. Check the hearts. That's it. Check the hearts.
Check the hearts.
If you're truly connected and you want the love of your creator, you're going to have a love for his creation. And that's not love of his creation if you're doing what's happening now with this genocide. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me real quick, we like this nice gear.
Thank you. Where
did you pick that up?
So first of all, this is from our merchandise line.
Oh, that's your merchandise.
That's my own merchandise.
Cool.
It's called, you could go and get it from shopzamzamboys.com. And the entire thing behind this is all da'wah. So all the proceeds. Shopzamzamboys.com.
Oh, like
that's
Zemzem
our brand.
Water?
Yeah, like Zamzam water. So we're Zamzam Boys. That's our da'wah army that we go out. We give da'wah. We go in Times Square. We give out Qur'ans. We did the Taraweeh in Times Square. Gave over about 1,000 Qur'ans out. Alhamdulillah. It was beautiful. So the whole design behind this is Tawheed, so that when someone asks you, like, oh, this is really nice, what is that? You tell them about the first house of God that Allah made through Prophet Adam, then the Prophet Abraham. You get their agreements and understanding who these messengers are. Then you talk about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and how this is the direction that Muslims pray towards. So this entire thing is designed for da'wah. The proceeds of this help us purchase more Qur'ans and fund our da'wah that we're doing, so that we don't have to just ask for donations. People buy our merchandise. They look good, they feel great, and then at the same time they're giving dawah, and it helps us give more dawah. So shopzamzamboys.com for anyone who wants to support.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is your brother Osman ibn Farooq here in Florida at the Deen Center. A dream coming to reality by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something amazing. My first tour, I just went through it, that this is something needed for America. A place that is dedicated to da'wah. Yes, there is a masjid. We're going to make salah. We're going to have the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have the masjid, you have the school, you have the da'wah center, and you got a gym where we're going to welcome non-Muslims to come in and see, have exhibitions to show the beauty and the art of Islam, have questions and answers, have recordings, a center like no other in the history of America. We as Muslims are breaking ground. You need to be a part of this, inshallah.
Use your zakat money, use your sadaqah money, use your sadaqah jariyah, and get going. Help the center open so it can be a means of sharing Islam with the country in a way that hasn't been done.